Chapter 27 Luna City. Gordon raised his tab.
Roshan?
Yes, sir.
It's in the vault. What's the situation outside?
Well, said the voice from the tab, I think they've all stopped.
Jake and Callie glanced at each other.
All of them?
Gordon asked.
I'm still going through all the exterior cameras, said the deputy, but yeah, I think so.
What about the mortuary? Asked Callie.
First place I noticed, about 30 seconds ago. I had their camera up. They're all just standing there like posts.
How many more cameras do you have to check?
Asked Gordon.
About 50 more exteriors. Still need to double-check the other docking hallways, too.
Someone should call Henri out at Osiris, said Jake. He can tell us if they're still moving out there.
Good idea, said Gordon.
You hear that, Roshan?
Yes, sir. On it. Anything else?
Let me know once you've double-checked all the cameras. I want to be sure these things are done.
Yes, sir.
The speaker let out a soft tap as Roshan closed the channel.
So, Jake said, again, now what?
Now it's not our problem anymore, said Gordon.
He rapped his knuckles on the vault door just above the handle.
We get out of here and let Discorp deal with it.
Callie blinked.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it, echoed Gordon. What else do you expect? We're done.
He shook his head and leaned back against one of the lab's counters. Jake crossed his arms.
You whine like the mayor. Never said she was wrong. I just said her priorities were messed up.
He tipped his head at the safe.
The zombies all got shut off. Now we got to deal with the problem of over 50 people being dead up here. And yeah, one of them's the Discorp CEO's son.
But what if they're not shut off?
Asked Callie. Both of them looked at her. Gordon's eyebrows wrinkled.
What?
They didn't fall over, she said. They're still awake? Active?
Reanimated, offered Jake.
Whatever, said Gordon, the easy tone gone from his voice.
My point is, they just stopped moving. That's it. Maybe it's only the ones nearby. Maybe they just need to, I don't know, recharge on their own. Maybe they just went into standby mode while they wait for something else to move near them.
Gordon reached up to squeeze the bridge of his nose.
What are you thinking?
Maybe now that we've got the meteorite, we should just destroy it somehow.
She looked around the lab.
Do we have something like a vat of acid or a mining laser or, I don't know, something that could shatter it or melt it or something?
Gordon snorted.
Nothing like that up here. And we'd have to take it back out of the vault, said Jake.
Callie sighed.
Good point.
We could clean out as many of them as possible while they're just standing around, said Jake, and then take it out.
Gordon raised a brow and nodded at the pistol in Jake's hand.
How many rounds of ammo you got for that thing?
Just go down the hall with a sledgehammer. We know head trauma puts them down. Could probably do 20 or 30 an hour, depending on how tight they're standing.
You couldn't keep up that pace,
said Callie.
Watch me.
She shook her head.
There's a couple thousand of them around Luna City, aren't there? Even if we had sledgehammers for everyone, you're talking about a week of work, and that's assuming they just don't start moving again and grab everybody.
Just throwing ideas out there.
She studied the vault. She leaned to the side, checked behind it.
Can this thing move?
The vault?
Asked Gordon.
Sure. It's a damned beast, though, almost 700 kilos.
She set her hands against it and pushed. Her feet slid on the floor.
So about 120 moon weight?
The sheriff smirked.
700 is its moon weight. It's 4 centimeters of solid steel with a layer of lead.
Must have cost a bundle to get it up here, said Jake.
Before my time. I just had to help move it out of another room a few years ago.
So, said Callie, we could leave it in the vault and just move the whole thing.
Okay, said Gordon. But move it where?
Anywhere that's not here. Far side?
Send it into deep space, said Jake. Hell, send it into the sun. We could just use the hopper, burn off all its fuel.
The sheriff shook his head. Hopper only fits two people, three to squeeze.
He banged his fist on the vault.
Even if we could get this thing into it, I don't think it'd take the mass.
An idea sparked to life in the back of Callie's mind. Her eyes focused past them at the far wall.
What about the carrier?
Jake followed her gaze.
What?
The Hawthorne?
The Hathaway, said Gordon. It still doesn't work.
It doesn't work for evac, Callie said, because it couldn't get back on the elevator. It'd get stuck out in space.
Jake's eyes lit up.
But if we wanted something to get stuck out in space...
Exactly.
Gordon rubbed his chin.
I think the carrier's got a couple system lockdowns on it.
Tessa can probably deal with them.
Gordon held up his hand.
My code should unlock it, but it can't be done remotely.
So, said Jake, we need to go back out there?
We do, Gordon agreed. But first we need to find somebody who knows how to fly the damned thing.
Easy, said Dr. Tavis. One more in the back, open wide.
Kelly forced her jaw wider and leaned back against the headrest. The mold pushed deeper into her mouth. Tavis pressed it down on Callie's molar and squeezed the trigger. The tooth throbbed two more times, then went blissfully numb. A lot of her teeth felt numb.
I think 9 temps is my new record, Tavis told her, and I've cleaned up after some nasty bar fights.
Callie's tongue bumped against her front teeth.
Didn't feel like that many.
She shifted her jaw side to side. The caps felt like gum stuck to her teeth.
Too many, too close together. Normally, I'd tell you to chew carefully, take it easy. The dentist should be here in 3 or 4 weeks, but...
I'll do my best.
She blinked away some of the excess eye drops. Tavis had checked her eyes and ears, rubbed some more yellow goop on her face and neck. With her teeth capped and numbed, she almost felt normal again.
That was a brave thing you did, saving Jake.
Callie tried to smile it off, but her lips just ended up twitching.
I didn't really think about it. It was just what... We both had to get inside.
Don't stop doing that, then.
She felt her lips twitch again and hid it by tapping her teeth together a few times.
Are we safe now?
Asked Tavis. Callie stood up, rolled her head until her neck caught and gave a satisfying pop.
I think we're safer. I wouldn't say safe until this thing's gone and all the clients are back in the ground.
Cremate them all. That's what I say.
I think that'd be desecrating them or something.
It's probably safe to say at this point they've already been desecrated.
Jake waited out on the boulevard, tapping his own freshly capped teeth together. His eyes swung to Callie, darker now that they were back under his precious baseball cap.
You good?
Good enough. Anything from Gordon?
He's hunting down a guy. We may have actually lucked out for once.
How so?
Records show there's a pilot on layover at the hotel. If he can set an autopilot or something on the carrier, we could have the rock back in space 3 or 4 hours from now.
Callie felt her shoulders loosen. She didn't realize they'd been tight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we just need to find the guy.
Is his chip not working?
Only Lunars have LPS chips. Guy's just a visitor, and things are still a little screwy. From what I've been hearing, some people lock themselves in their rooms.
Kind of appealing, said Callie. Beats being outside without a helmet.
Jake let out one of his dry laughs.
Most things do.
Something looped down to buzz between them. Callie followed it up, caught a glimpse of yellow gold as it passed under a light.
Was that a bee?
He watched it circle and swoop down the hall.
Yeah, must have gotten out of Khonsu, the garden wing.
They have bees over there?
Bees, some ladybugs. Think they've got worms in the compost, too.
Looks like they all decided to get out of here, too.
Callie gestured up at a vent where close to a dozen bees clustered. Two or three strolled down the wall, tracing wavy lines. Some launched off the vent and spun through the air, heading down the boulevard after their hive mates. A few more squeezed out between the slats.
That's probably not good, said Jake.
He glanced to his left. Callie followed his gaze and saw another handful of bees working their way out of the next vent. She tapped her tab.
Hey, Roshan.
Yes, ma'am?
Jesus, stop calling me ma'am.
Sorry, ma'am.
There are a bunch of bees coming out of the vents on Gletty Boulevard.
Did you say bees?
Yeah.
The deputy muttered something the tab couldn't pick up.
Must be a filter failure somewhere. I'll get somebody on it. Are they flocking or clustering or something?
Swarming. Bees swarm, and no, they're not. Looks like they're all just running away.
So they're smart bees, said Roshan.
Got it.
Callie chuckled. Jake cleared his throat.
Where's Gordon at?
A few digital keystrokes popped from the tab.
He's at Yamamoto's. I think he just sat down with the pilot.
Excellent. Jake glanced at Callie. Want to grab some sushi?
Not really my thing, to be honest.
Good, I forgot my wallet back at Osiris.
They walked across the plaza and over to Celine. Only six people stood in the plaza, two at each of the avenue archways. Other civilians, either volunteers or pressed into guard duty. Four of them had baseball bats clutched in their hands. One had what looked like a fire axe up on her shoulder, poised to swing. She gave them a nervous nod as they walked by.
Six people if something goes wrong,
Callie murmured.
Like I said, a lot of people just lock themselves in their rooms. Most of the tourists are probably still trying to convince themselves this is a lunar problem. All they need to do is wait for the next carrier.
Even after the crash?
Jake nodded.
During a crisis, it's kind of scary how many people deny there's anything happening.
I guess I can believe that.
Seen it happen too many times.
They walked on to Celine. Yamamoto's looked closed, but Gordon sat at a table on the small patio with another man. As they approached, he gave them a quick dip of the eyes, then focused on the man again.
So you can't just set a self-destruct or something?
The pilot glanced back, looked Callie up and down, then Jake. He had a shaved, bald head with 3 or 4 days of white stubble dusted across it.
Carriers don't have self-destruct buttons, he said, looking back at the sheriff. Not in real life. Best I could offer you is maybe an emergency cargo dump. Two of my emergency deputies, Gordon said. He twitched a finger at them in introduction.
Callie Washington, Jake Yazzie, this is Captain Andrews.
They all nodded politely at each other. Jake glanced at Gordon, then back to Andrews.
But it's got an autopilot, right?
Yeah, of course. It's really just about how much the company locked down the systems when they mothballed it up here. And if they left any fuel cells.
Callie pulled over another chair and sat down.
Fuel cells?
Well, yeah, said Andrews. If the sheriff's right and they just plan to leave it up here, why leave perfectly good cells sitting in it? It could have saved them 10 or 15,000 euros on each of the next 4 or 5 flights. Just send each carrier up the elevator 1 or 2 cells short, and then have them pull what they need from the Hathaway.
Gordon squeezed the bridge of his nose.
So it might be completely dead.
Maybe, or it might have enough fuel to launch us toward Titan.
Or toward the sun, said Callie.
Andrews nodded.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jake still stood next to Callie.
What were you saying before about it being locked down?
Just standard stuff. They probably locked down launch controls, nav, life support, the autopilot. Anything that'll stop somebody from taking it for a joyride. It's a good thing if they did, because it probably means a couple of fuel cells are still there. They wouldn't bother if it had been stripped clean.
Callie leaned forward on the table. How many fuel cells would it need to send it into the sun?
Andrew's gaze went to each of them, then settled back on Callie.
You know you're talking about destroying a Discorp carrier. That's serious lawsuit territory, trust me. I've flown for them a bunch of times.
We're surrounded by an actual army of the undead, said Callie. Do you really think the idea of a lawsuit is going to scare any of us right now?
He glanced down Celine and shrugged.
Just trying to be upfront about everything.
How many fuel cells? Repeated Gordon. Andrews shrugged.
If we don't care about how long it takes to get there, one would do it. Most space travel, we're trying to get something to its destination before it dies or expires or whatever. If you just want to drop a rock in the sun, it might take the nav system 10 or 15 minutes to figure out a viable course, but if there's enough fuel to lift off, we can do it.
Then let's get to it, said Jake.
Thanks for the help.
Andrews gave Callie a weak smile.
I haven't put one of these things on in almost 3 years.
I thought you were a pilot,
she said, pushing the gauntlet down over his wrist. It caught the spacesuit's cuff and locked into place. She reached back and pulled the matching one down from the storeroom shelf. Andrews wiggled and flexed his fingers, settling them into the glove.
I am. That means I stay inside the ship.
He rolled his shoulders and the rigid collar wobbled side to side.
I only ever put these on for the recertification test. You gonna be okay? Asked Jake.
Oh, yeah,
the pilot said, nodding hard.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Callie saw Gordon's eyebrow twitch as he glared at the pilot. His red and white suit had been on and ready for 5 minutes now. He let his gaze drop down at his tab, fastened in a frame on his gauntlet. Jake held the sheriff's helmet, waiting to lock it in place. He'd been keeping his attention on Gordon's face. Now he stared impatiently at the back of Andrews' scalp. Roshan's voice echoed in stereo from Jake and Callie's tabs.
Okay, I've triple-checked the avenue, absolutely clear of zombies, not a one. And at the end? Asked Callie, holding out the other glove to Andrews. Straight shot. There's about 200 between the end of Tereshkova and the carrier, but I think you're going to have to make some detours. There's some wreckage from the crash in the way, plus a couple conduits that might be a pain to climb over.
Gordon scowled and let out a cough that was half grumble.
So what are we looking at?
I'm sending you a route to follow. Should take you about 20 minutes to walk. You'll have to go past maybe 400 of them.
Andrews bit back a sound. He cleared his throat.
Doesn't sound that bad.
They're all just standing there doing nothing, said Gordon. Just like walking through a crowd.
Yeah, said the pilot. Of course.
His other glove snapped into place and he shook out his hand a few times. Callie reached back and scooped the pilot's helmet off its shelf. She glanced at Jake and Gordon. The sheriff lumbered past them and out of the storeroom. Jake followed, and she waved Andrews after them. Gordon shuffled down the boulevard toward the plaza. He twisted to look back at Jake and Callie.
As soon as we get out there, you two grab whoever and whatever you need to move the vault. Lana and Roshan know where there's some dollies we use for moving big things around. Pretty sure two or three of them have wire tires we can take outside if we have to.
They do,
Roshan's voice confirmed.
Get it out here. Once we're at the carrier, we'll let you know if there's enough fuel to move it over to the dock. You feel up to going out again if we need to do this the hard way?
Not really, Callie said. But if it gets this thing off the moon, I'll do it.
Gordon sent one of his rough laughs at her as they stepped out into the plaza.
Was really thinking of Jake just for sheer muscle, but I guess the more hands the better.
Thanks.
No offense.
We've got enough muscle, said Jake. Last time having a brain along saved my ass.
Get the vault here and then be ready to suit up.
He looked at the Tereshkova door and the two volunteer guards standing there.
10 minutes down the avenue, 15 minutes there, all that back. How long is it going to take you to get the carrier going?
Andrews rocked his head side to side.
All depends on how locked down they've got it. Like I said, best case, once we're in the cockpit, I could have it warming up in 10 minutes with a finished flight plan. Worst case, maybe an hour, assuming we can unlock all the systems.
Gordon nodded and turned back to Callie and Jake.
Think you can have it here and be ready to go in an hour 15?
If we can do it in less, she said, we'll meet you in the hall.
Fan-fucking-tastic, said the sheriff. He reached out to tap the helmet in Jake's arms. Seal us up.
The helmets went over their heads. Callie felt an odd pang as she engaged the latches, a small ache that could have been fear or relief. A phantom chill ran down her back and vanished.
Last little bonus for you. Jake held up a baseball bat. Someone had wrapped the end in sash cord and made a large braided loop.
He reached down, hooked it onto Gordon's belt, then guided the sheriff's hand to it.
Better to have it and not need it. Gordon nodded. Amen to that.
Hey, said Andrews. He looked at Jake, then Callie. Don't I get a weapon?
You just worry about getting the carrier up and running, Gordon said, eyeing the man. If there's any problems past that, I'll deal with them.
But what if they attack us?
Then having one more baseball bat won't really make a difference.
Callie stepped past one of the volunteers and used her deputy codes to unseal the doors. They slid back, exposing Tereshkova Avenue.
Good luck, she said.
Gordon gave her and Jake a thumbs up and headed through the archway. Andrews waddled after him. They paused on the other side to look back. Callie set her hand against the controls and the door closed between them, sealing the two men inside.